here we go again, it's the game we love.
Play game.
Keep our minds on the game.
All the game.
You're listening to 90.7 KBOO Community Radio, and this is America's first, best, and only live board game radio show.
Till proven otherwise.
I'm your host. Sorry, I was clicking on something else there. It's
Winner's Bias.
Winner's Bias. Thank you. I'm all lost. A show about board games and supporting local businesses. I'm your host, Nate, and with me is my buddy James supporting me. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, thanks.
All right, you can send us questions and comments in real time using the OLARC messaging system on our website, kboo.fm. We're very excited to be talking to Alex and Ty, owners of Cloud Cap Games in Selwood. This is our first interview ever. Say hello.
Hey.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having
us. Yeah.
It's fun to be here.
Welcome to our little show we have going on.
Oh my gosh. I did something crazy to this computer. Before we get to that, it's the first day of our fall membership drive, and we want to wake the neighborhood. That's right, you won't hear us talking about Don't Wake Daddy over the next month, as that's not the mission. We're trying to raise $30,000 by September 21st. KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we're funded by you, the listener. Please show your support by becoming a monthly sustaining member or just make a one-time contribution today. Or if you already give to KBOO, consider increasing the amount. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Thank you so much to all of our members and listeners. KBOO couldn't exist without your support. All right. So Ty and Alex, welcome to KBOO. Welcome to Winner's Bias. Why don't you take it away, James?
I think the first thing we should probably start with is tell us a little about yourselves. Tell us about why you're here and what you're talking about.
Alex and I own Cloud Cap Games in Selwood. We really like games. So coming on a radio show about games makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Great. Well, Ty, how did you get into the hobby?
So I grew up playing games. I think a lot of people did. As a kid, I played a lot of Phase 10, which isn't a game that I would electively choose to play now, but it did facilitate a love of gaming as a kid. And then, honestly, it's a really boring origin story. I went to college. I found Settlers of Catan, as it was called then, and played it over and over and over until I found out there was other modern board games.
That's awesome. I somehow have missed the boat on Catan altogether. I've never, ever played it.
It still holds up. It's a great
classic.
Game.
Yeah. I've never played it either. And I feel like I always get told that's a starter game. But I was like, I don't want to play that one. It doesn't sound fun to me.
Well, it is wood for wood.
Yeah, I don't like wood for wood games.
Or similar, I guess. Cards? I don't know.
You trade the wood for the wood.
How about you, Alex?
Yeah, I also grew up playing games. Mostly Scrabble and Yahtzee. My mom was brutal at those games. grew up playing those, and in high school got into a lot of collectible games. My friends introduced me to Catan, which we played nonstop, and then one of them said, I found this website that's called boardgamegeek.com. It's got a list of the best games of all time. We got to play this number one, Puerto Rico. Try it out. We played that a bunch, and I got into heavier games because of that. Yeah.
Nice. That's interesting, because I often hear sometimes, like, you shouldn't go to Board Game Geek and try to play the number one game because it might be just a bananas experience, like, way more overhead than you were expecting.
I mean, that's what we talked about last time. How was playing the number one game? Was it hard, or, like, even harder than you expected?
Well, at the time, I mean, we were so excited about, like, seeing this new world of board games. I was so used to, like, chance-based, quick card games, miniatures games, but getting something where you have to really sit down and plan your whole turnout and think about what other people are doing, it was like a whole new world. So it was just exciting to learn it, even if it was more complex.
Yeah, and that's sort of what you said last week with The Gallerist, where it's like you had the buy-in because you're like, I'm here with friends, and I chose to do this. So, like, any game kind of works if you've already bought in.
It makes it a safe space for you to mess up if you're going to. You don't have to worry about that too much.
Yeah. Have you seen many changes in the hobby since you have gotten into it? And like, maybe you want to share. Ty, why don't you take this?
Yeah, well, what I was going to say is the time when Alex was getting into Puerto Rico, that was a time where board games, I feel, were a little more elegant in their design. They're a little more streamlined. Now there's games coming out thanks to Kickstarter and things like that where there's just overbloated, huge games that have so many little components and tons of rules. Whereas Puerto Rico, you open up the rule book, it's a few pages, and it's just everything is there for a reason, and it's just beautifully done. So there's still really good games coming out like that, but now there's just so many coming that it's just an onslaught.
Yeah, and we were kind of talking about that before the show, where just there's so much to even just play these days. Like, how do you even decide what you're going to, like, in your case, what you would be stocking on your shelves and stuff? And maybe we'll get into that a little later, but like, or you can address it now. But.
Well, I think part of all of these, this like massive amount of games coming out, is we're getting a lot of more complex ones, but we're also getting a lot more accessible games. We're getting a whole wave of games designed for newer players specifically, and games that anyone can play. Azul, you know, is a great example of a game that absolutely anyone can learn and play. I don't think it would exist without this like huge explosion of board games that
absolutely
we've seen. Yeah.
I wanted to ask about the explosion of board games, especially since COVID. If that made a difference. I didn't know if people being stuck inside meant board games grew, or people not being able to play with their friends meant it shrunk, or if different board games came out because of that, if more like board games you could play online blew up or something.
There's definitely been a shift in how board games are designed. I think COVID is a result of, or that's a result of COVID, is there's a lot more solo one-player games. That's something that existed before COVID, but now it's just every game has a solo variant, which is really great if you play solo games. I like to play with the people around the table, so I don't play them very often. But for those that do, it's
there's a lot of good stuff out there.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And escape room games, too.
Big time.
You know, everyone was trying to escape their rooms.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
How did you find your gaming groups when you were getting into the hobby?
For me, it was... So, like I said, I started playing hobby-style games in college. So I had my college group. Mm-hmm. Left college, the group went away. So for me, honestly, it was finding CloudCap. Because Alex and I weren't always the owners of the store.
Mm-hmm.
Found the store. I went, this place is great. I had gone to other stores in the city, and there's some really good ones, but there's just finding a sense of community of people to play with. And, you know, there's weekly game nights and things like that. And when you go to a meetup and you see other people are there for something that you also love to do, and you're like, wow, there's tons of us. And then you just find who you mesh with and you play games, and it's wonderful.
Game stores are incredible places. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you give any... information about how people can get into those groups, and like what should they look out for, and what groups would be best for them to get into? A little hints, or
I think it's always a little tricky because sometimes you'll show up to a game store and everyone's already playing something. You don't know any of these people. I always recommend bringing a friend because the two of you could find a game and sit down together and start playing, and then eventually go over, introduce yourselves, you know, mingle.
Totally. And I also think finding what you like to play.
Yes.
Because games are like, well, they're kind of like movies, right? Where you can say, I like movies. Well, do you love horror movies? No, I hate horror movies. I thought you liked movies. Games are the same way. If you find out what kind of game you like, then you can find out what kind of person you want to play with.
At these meetups, is there like someone available to help teach the games, or do you just kind of have to jump into a group with someone who's looking for players to teach it, or is it, do you try to teach it yourself?
Well, at least at our shop, we've got a pretty good community of people who are always willing to teach what they're playing. It's a pretty good group of folks. But yeah, I mean, typically during game nights, we'll teach.
It's
teach
very
stuff.
Welcoming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how other stores do it, but we have a Discord where we have a sub-channel that's specifically for our game nights. And so people will say, hey, I am bringing Cosmic Encounter, or I'm going to bring Scythe or something. Who wants to play? And then people know before they get there what they're going to play. They might not know who they're playing with, but then they can study up the rules, or someone can be prepared to teach that specific game.
Yeah, we've even had people say, I would really like to learn this game. Would anybody be willing to play and teach me this game? Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you, we'll start with Alex this time.
Sure.
What is your favorite game or current favorite game?
Yes. Always a hard question to answer because it's always changing. All time is probably Antiquity, which is a big, complicated game.
You talk about it a lot.
God, it's good. Yeah. But,
the perfect place to talk about it.
Yeah. lot of stuff going on.
I'll play it with you.
We'll play
it. I've been needing to get it to the table again.
It's so brutal. Lately, been playing a lot of Arcs. That one has been a huge new release from Leader Games. Awesome space game. But also a lot of quick card games. Been loving Nikosu Dice, which is a Japanese import trick taker that we get when we can. It's not available anymore.
Very, very much unavailable right now. But if you can play it, it's amazing.
So good. Yeah.
How about you, Ty?
I used to be a member of what I call the Krusty Club, which is just old brown beige Euro games, right?
Those are the James games.
Yeah, that's the word that sounds like.
I still love them. But those are the types of games where, like, you keep your head down, please don't talk to me, I'm making calculations in my brain. And the more I play, the more I realize I love playing with people around the table. And so, like Alex said, I love quick little card games. Really into trick-taking games. Spades, which you can play with a standard deck of cards. It's one of my all-time favorite games ever. So,
awesome. We're going to go quick to the reset here, and we'll come talk about a little bit more about the shop in just a moment. So you're listening to KBOO Portland. If you're just tuning in, I'm Nate, here with James, and this is Winner's Bias. We're talking with Alex and Ty, the owners of CloudCap Games in Selwood. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we're on the first day of our fun drive, trying to wake the neighborhood and bring our community together. And I can't think of a better way of doing that than at your friendly local game store. So you had mentioned that you didn't always own CloudCap. So how did you come to own CloudCap?
So Alex and I were both employees of the previous owner.
For a while.
For a long time. And, you know, we both saw that he was doing a great job. And it was just time to be done. He was transitioning to other projects. So we just talked to him and said, hey, if when you're ready, just let us know.
Yeah.
And I think what was important is that he knew we were going to keep it CloudCap. He handed us a gem. And we just kind of polished off a couple things here and there. And it's the same store that started when he started it.
Did either of you have any experience running a business at that point?
Here and there. I mean, I'm a business major, so I did businessy things and managed people, but never owned a store. That was a huge yeah. leap for both of us.
Oh yeah, I've worked retail since I was a kid, but never ran it.
And we bought it mid 2020, which was terrifying.
Hey, worked out.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm assuming you get a lot of new people coming into your board game store. This is what this radio show is all about, is bringing new people into the hobby. Like, how do you talk to newcomers that aren't really that deep into games yet to bring them more in and get them started in this lovely hobby that we've come across?
Yeah, that's always an interesting conversation when folks come into the store. There's sort of like a 20 questions that we go... It's not, 20 questions, but... You need to, like, suss out where they're at, basically. I say, if you've played games before, what games did you like? What did you like about them? I think a big barrier for a lot of new gamers is rule books. I think that's a language that not everyone is accustomed to, like, knowing. Like, learning a game from reading a rule book is not something we grow up with. So often recommending games that are easy to pick up, open the box and play, type things like that. Yeah,
that's kind of what I said about Betrayal at House on the Hill, mm-hmm. where you have to split up. It's like, it's not a great intro game because you might be sending someone who's never read a rule book off to read a rule book on how to do the haunt.
Exactly, yeah.
Totally. I've crashed and burned on that one a few times.
Yeah. I mean, people learn in different ways, and if you just shove a huge rule book in front of them, mm-hmm. be like, just read this, it'd be like, well, I'm out now. I can't do this. I'd rather learn while playing. And you can't do that unless you read the rule book, and it's just like a clash.
Right. Yeah.
I would say another thing also is just letting people know that you want them there. that they feel included. I had a really good experience yesterday. I went and played games with one of our regulars, who at the time was just an acquaintance. I feel like after yesterday, we're friends now. But she lives out in Beaverton, and that's a long way to come to CloudCap. We're in Selwood. And she said, I come to your store because you and Alex and, you know, Phoebe and Phoenix, the rest of our crew, made us feel welcome.
That's awesome.
Which is awesome. It was a really good feeling.
It's what you want in the store, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I have to ask this question for my niece, Josie, because when we mentioned the possibility of renting games, she thought it was super interesting, so we need to get to it. But how does renting games work, at least at CloudCap?
How we do it is, I mean, it's kind of like a video store. Remember those? We have a little sheet you fill out, take some card information. But yeah, it's $5. You can take a game home for 3 nights, or $10. You take it home for a week. Play it as much as you want.
Yeah.
And when you bring it back, you can get those rental fees off of a new copy of the game. So you don't end up paying extra if you like the game and want to buy a new copy. Yeah, it's a good time.
So, but unlike a rental store, there's lots of pieces that can be lost. And yeah. So, like, how do you handle that end of things?
Well, like I said, we have Phoenix and Phoebe, and they are great. We very much appreciate our crew at CloudCap. So a game comes in, and we count every piece. We do it with not only rentals, but used games as well, and it is very time-consuming.
Very time-consuming.
Yeah, you are... sorry, James.
No,
you are one of the few board game stores that still does used games, right?
Yeah, I think we're one of maybe two.
In Portland, that is.
There's another shop in Northeast. They're great. They do used, but I think it's only like a certain time of year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They'll run like festivals and things like that.
Yeah.
We do it all year round, and it is constant. Oh, every day we
stacks
get
used games. Good stuff, too.
And every day they go out. Like, people know what they like, and they come in. It's like a treasure hunt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you want to come into the shop and find, we've mentioned Catan, you know it's going to be on the shop, on the shelves, because it's a staple. But you come and look at that used shelf, you're like, what am I going to find today? It's super fun.
So you've found your niche amongst all the other game stores out there. Because there's, especially in this, what I found, a boom in board games, that you can find so many different board game stores. How are there any challenges in place with having your store amongst these other ones, especially with like used game sellers and then like online game stores?
Yeah. Portland is a unique city. We have a ton of game stores, and they're all awesome. But we all have our own kind of niche. I think we have a lot of unique kind of differences between us. We definitely have the used game thing. We import a lot of games, a lot of Japanese games that you can't really get anywhere.
How do you decide which games to import?
The ones you can get, they're very scarce. So when you see them, you buy them, put them in that cart, and you get them. So it's kind of an easy process as long as you know how to do it. So.
And I imagine just a little bit of research, like, do people kind of like this game? Or...
Right.
Yeah, a lot of research.
So
yeah.
I have this question might be a bit more for me, but you guys said it earlier. Nate, you said this a lot to me, but Trick Takers, is this a game you can only import? Is it a specific kind of game? What is a Trick Taker game?
It's actually both. There is a game called Trick Takers. Alex and I love it. We've just played the heck out of it. But Trick Taking... or Trick Takers are types of games. So Trick Taking games, have you played Hearts or Spades or things like Euchre are classics?
I haven't, but I'm sure Nate has.
I played a lot of Pinochle.
Right. Yeah. So basically the quick pitch is you have a handful of cards, like a standard deck, and someone's going to play a card. So if I play an 8 of Hearts, it's now Alex's turn. If he has Hearts, he must play Hearts card. If you don't have Hearts, you can play anything you want. Basically, after all of us have played a card, whoever played the best, strongest card will win those cards, and that's called a trick.
Oh, okay. So it's getting the most cards possible?
Sometimes. Sometimes it's don't get any cards.
Oh, it depends on the
sometimes
game.
Sometimes it's get a very specific amount of cards. And that's what makes it fun, is you're trying to manage your hand and say, how do I make this work?
Mm-hmm. In a way, war is a trick taker.
Oh, yeah.
In a way, it is. You're right.
We've all played a trick taker.
Yeah. So, what sort of, I mean, you mentioned, you have mentioned having events and game nights, but what sort of, like, we were at CloudCap the other week, and you were running, a youth D&D day. Like, what sort of events and things can people do? Like, special stuff going on?
Well, yeah, that was our D&D summer camp. We've been doing that all summer long, to last week right now, but it was a good time. But yeah, we have game nights almost every night of the week. Monday, our buddy Caleb runs a Go night with abstract games, which is pretty cool. Wednesday is our main board game night. We have tons of tables set up. We have a whole library of stuff to pick from. That's where all of our board game regulars show up. That's the time to come and, like, learn a game, hang out with folks.
There's also no cost to the that game night. You just show up and play games.
Yeah.
And, like, what I always tell people is there's food carts across the street. You can get dinner, bring it into the shop.
It's a good time.
Find someone to play a game with, eat dinner, and have fun.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Do you run tournaments as well?
We do for, we do Magic the Gathering over the weekend, and Star Wars Unlimited. Those are, like, weekend games, more competitive in that way.
Yeah, we sometimes run, like, really, like, one-off tournament things. We did a trick-taking one where we played a game called Boo-Ray.
Yeah.
Which is like poker, but with trick-taking. And in the past, this is years ago, like, we did a Star Realms tournament and Seven Wonders tournament under the previous owner.
But every once in a while, we'll do tournaments. One of our big nights is on Thursday. We have Marvel Champions, which is a cooperative game. So in that one, you're not competing, so hard to do a tournament with that. But that's a really fun one that we like a lot.
It is my favorite game that we sell in the shop.
Nice.
I love Marvel Champions.
I guess you could do a tournament of it where people who keep succeeding in their like not losing to the game, and you just have one person standing at the end or one team standing at the end,
right? Yeah, you could run little pods.
Yeah,
everyone fights against the same villain who can last the longest.
We should do that.
We should do that.
That's awesome.
Is there we're kind of half hour so quick. We're kind of coming up on the end of things. Is there anything else that you think people should know about CloudCap, about the hobby?
Or maybe even, what game do you think people should... What would be a good starter game for people? We should probably go there.
Oh,
like,
man.
A game everyone should play, or...
Nana. It's a great one. It's one we import. It got localized recently as Trio. Same game. Excellent. The Japanese version has really good art. So
it's
like
cute.
That one a lot.
It's so cute.
But yeah, quick card game. Super easy to learn. Azul is a great one. So easy to get into. Can be... pretty strategic.
Yeah, but if you're gonna start with one, Nana is so good. It goes over well with everybody.
Yeah, it's, I mentioned it a couple episodes ago. It's because Alex introduced me to it, and it's like immediately top 10 game for me. I've played it with everyone. And if you can't find a copy, you can always make your own out of a deck of cards.
So absolutely could.
Which is super nice, and the rules are just on that one little card on both sides of those.
Well, and the crazy thing is just memory meets Go Fish, which sounds awful.
Sounds so boring.
But it works, and it's so good.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here, for taking the time to come down to the station. And thank you, listeners, for listening to Winner's Bias. If you would like to comment on the show or suggest discussion topics, you can email us at winnersbias@kbu.org. I'm Nate.
And I'm James, and we want to remind you that KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform. There are over 300 volunteers working hard to keep KBOO running.
I'm going to jump in here. I happen to be the volunteer coordinator at KBOO, and so if you ever want to volunteer, you can just email me at volunteer@kbu.org, and I'll get you all started on your way.
If you enjoyed the program today, please show your support by making a contribution to help us reach our free $30,000 drive goal. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. And remember, it's not about the games you play, but how you support your locally owned game stores along the way. Have a good one.
Play again. game.
Game people play, that's how crazy this game is.
Play my little game.
Play, play the game tonight. Game.
This game.